today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Our two verses will help us to have a better understanding of the core of the Christian life. Authentic Christianity does make a difference as we, to use Paul's expression that we're going to look at, as we work out our salvation.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In today's message, we're reminded that our salvation is a free gift of God's grace. But we do have some responsibility in accepting this gift and living out our faith. We should be fruitful and productive as we grow and reflect Christ. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he continues our study in the book of Philippians with the second part of his message, Working Out Your Salvation.
We learned last time that the Christian life is a life of obedience. In a sense, we begin the Christian life by obeying, by repenting of our sin and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a life of humility, of faith, and of obedience is now to follow. But this scripture of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, is, on the face of it, a bit puzzling. What does it mean to work out our own salvation? Don't we begin the Christian life by receiving what God has done in Jesus Christ, rather than us being rewarded for acts of obedience? Our verses today will help us, and they will get to the essence of what it means to live out in a practical way the life of Christ.
Let's open our Bibles then to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to just look at two verses, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Isn't that masterful? We see, first of all, here that the Christian life is a life of obedience. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed. The Christian life, of course, begins, to use Paul's expression, Romans 1, begins with the obedience of faith. But not only does the Christian life begin with obedience, it does, we grow in the Christian faith through obedience. Now, will you grasp this truth? It's a tough one, isn't it? You will never grow in your faith unless your life is characterized by obedience. So then, therefore, Paul is saying, you have always obeyed. The Christian life is a life of obedience. But central to the text, of course, secondly, the Christian life is a life of working out our salvation. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, please notice this carefully. There's a lot of confusion on this verse. We don't work for salvation or work at salvation. It would be a monumental mistake to think that Paul in verse 12 is telling us that we work for our salvation or towards our salvation or at our salvation. He's saying nothing of the kind. We don't work our way into heaven. We're not saved by our works. But in a sense, we are saved by good works, provided we understand that the works which save us are not our works, but Christ's. It's through his work. It's through his redeeming work. It's through his cross work, if you like, that we are saved. That's the whole point of the gospel, Galatians 2:16, that we are not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ. It is based on what Christ has done and Christ alone. His redemptive work, his salvific work is perfectly accomplished, and we're saved by grace as all of that is appropriated to us as we obey the gospel and trust Jesus Christ. And such an understanding of the gospel then humbles us and exalts God. That's always the gospel. If there's any message which exalts man, it's not the gospel. The gospel, the true gospel, always does these two things. It humbles man and it exalts God. That's why there's such a perversion, isn't there? Even within our evangelical world, of a message which exalts man and tells us how good we are and what we can receive and how if we do this, God is going to bless us. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that God so loved the world, including you and me, that he sent his son into this world to be our savior. What an amazing statement. That's amazing grace. And Paul has told us earlier in this chapter at some length of the Son of God coming into our world to save us. It's only through Christ, God incarnate, that we can be saved. He and he alone can take us to heaven. But now salvation in the New Testament has past, present, and future aspects. Technically, it has justification, sanctification, and glorification. You see, our salvation is much more than justification. Justification is a declaration by God whereby he looks at the sinner and he declares us not only not guilty, he does more than that, he declares us righteous. Many a man has left a court of law with the judge or the jury saying not guilty, but he's certainly not righteous. All it means is they haven't proved the case against him. God says to us, not just not guilty, he declares us righteous. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. This is the beginning of our salvation, isn't it? And there are many Christians who rejoice in their salvation, and rightly so. They're glad to be born again, but they forget that the new birth is only the beginning of the Christian life. If you're here and you're saved by God's grace, you're rejoicing in that, but let me remind you that you're just now a baby. You're in the family of God, but there is so much more ahead of you to be worked out. And so Paul is reminding us in verses 12 and 13 that while we don't work for salvation, we work out the salvation which is in us. There is to be a practical outworking in our lives of all of the glorious benefits of salvation. And you can't work out your salvation unless God in his grace has first worked it in you. And so the context here in verses 12 and 13 is not so much justification as it is our sanctification. And in particular, in the context clearly, we are to follow Christ's example of humility and service. We rejoice in what our Savior has done in saving us. But the context, of course, is an ethical context. Paul has told us that you're to have the very mind of Christ, that just as Christ humbled himself, as he put others before him, so we who follow him are to be characterized by humility and by obedience and submission to the Father's will. You understand that. You love that in the Savior. Now work it out. Work out your own salvation. And so Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ living within us. And there is to be a working out of these great truths. What we are inside is to be evident outside. This is the mind of Christ. And of course, we see that elsewhere. We see that in Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, where Paul tells us that we're not saved by works, but then he tells us in verse 10 that we are God's workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. These good works are not the cause or the source of our salvation, but they are the consequence and the goal of our salvation. The great God who created this immense universe has reached down in love and grace into our hearts and souls and is revealing his Son in us. And what is sanctification? It is becoming more and more like Jesus. That's it. It's being like Jesus. And we're working that out. That's hard work sometimes, isn't it? We think of our selfishness. We think of our desire to be served rather than to serve. I'm to remember my master. I'm to work out my salvation. You see, in the New Testament, true saving faith is a faith that works. It's not a dead faith, James says. It's a faith that works. It's a faith that makes a difference. We work out our salvation because God is at work in us. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you. How wonderful. Do you understand that? That God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And in these verses, we have the beautiful blending of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. We have a beautiful balance of God's work and our work. God gives us all that we need, but we are responsible for using those resources as we work out our salvation. There is divine activity. God is at work in us. But there is also human activity. We're working that out. God works in us both to will and to do, and therefore we resolve to will and to do in ways that glorify God. It's wonderful to think that the Christian life doesn't depend on us. It's not left to us in our own strength. If that were the case, we would all be spiritual disasters, wouldn't we? And it's not just a matter of leaving everything to God. Someone says, just let go and let God. That's not what Paul is saying, as if we must do nothing in the Christian life. No, we have our responsibilities. The Christian life, we are learning from the book of Ruth and expounded here by Paul theologically, is not one of passivity. The Christian life is a fight, it's a race, it's a contest. We're to live disciplined lives. I am to work out my salvation. That means I am to read the Word of God. I am to study it. I am to obey it. I am to devote myself to prayer. I am to flee temptation. I am to resist the devil. I am to worship God. I am to use my gifts for the glory of God. I am to assemble myself together with my brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church. These and many other responsibilities are to be worked out in my life if I am going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And yes, as we work out our salvation, we're totally dependent on the holy desires which God gives us. He gives us the will, as well as the power and the enablement. We recognize then that God not only gives us the desire to live a holy life, but also the power, the enablement to live a holy life, because this God who gives me the desire to please Him is the same God who is at work in me. So Paul here is arguing neither for spiritual passivity nor independent spiritual activism. What God commands us to do, He empowers us to do it. I speak to people who have gone for counseling, and they see me, and they tell me something of the counsel that they've received from someone else, whether a Christian counselor or a secular counselor, and sometimes they've received good advice. But the problem is, they're not able to carry out the advice. There's no power. No power. God not only, as it were, gives us the advice, He not only tells us what to do and what not to do, He gives us the power through this God, the Holy Spirit, who works in us to do it. Now, we have a young lady from Scotland, and in her honor, I'm going to quote a Scottish theologian. Jane is from Dumfries in the south of Scotland visiting us today. I'm going to quote John Murray, who was from the Highlands, a minister in the church, but also late in his later years, a professor at Westminster Theological Seminary here in the U.S. And John Murray brilliantly explains, I think, the blend of the divine work and our work. Quote, listen carefully. God's working in us is not suspended because we work, nor our working suspended because God works. Neither is the relation strictly one of cooperation, as if God did His part and we did ours, so that the conjunction or coordination of both produced the required result. God works, and we also work. But the relation is that because God works, we work. All working out of salvation on our part is the effect of God's working in us. We have here not only the explanation of all acceptable activity on our part, but we also have the incentive to our willing and working. The more persistently active we are in working, the more persuaded we may be that all the energizing grace and power is of God. That's it. Working out your salvation. The Christian life, then, is a life of obedience, number one. Number two, it's a life of working out our salvation. Thirdly and finally, the Christian life is a life of living in the presence of the Lord. Verse 13 again. Let me read the from verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Christian life is a life of living in the presence of the Lord. I am to work out my salvation. How am I to do that? With fear and trembling. Here is an understanding of something that is very important, isn't it? And what a difference this makes in our life if we grasp it. That all of life is to be lived in the presence of our awesome God. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not fear and trembling because of Paul, great apostle as he was, but because God is at work in us. Not being afraid of God, but having a sense of the awe of God. How does this strike you this evening, that God is at work in you? Just think of that. As you live your life, as you get up tomorrow morning, as you think of the challenge of the day, you think of that difficult meeting you've got, you think of that fierce temptation, you think of that worry in front of you, as you think of a concern for a family member or some other situation, and you wonder, how am I going to do this? Or perhaps you're tempted to go on a wrong path. Here is a wonderful correction, isn't it, to understand that all of life is to be lived in the presence of God, that I am working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Isn't it true that we've largely, and I talk even about the church, the professing Christian church, that we've largely lost the sense of the fear and of the awe of God? We want a God who's user-friendly, a God that we can manipulate, a God who's like a genie out of a bottle that can come and do what I want in my time, in my agenda. What kind of weak little God is that? Rather than understanding that here is a great God who has manifested himself and his wonderful Son for my salvation, who is now exalted, and who one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But now he is asking me and commanding me to live a life where I'm working out my salvation because God is at work in me and that God is always watching over me. And while that gives me great comfort, there's also a sense of conviction that I can't get away from God. He's always watching over me. I can't escape from him, that everything I do, everything I say, everything I think is known by God. And so I am to practice. Will you try this week? Living in the presence of the Lord. I'm sure you have people you know as I have, that when you're in their presence, there is just something about them. There is a godliness. There is a spirit of humility. And as you just converse with them, as you leave them, you leave a better person just from being in their presence. Now just think that at all times you're living in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 46 that we sang about this morning, be still and know that I am God. We live such busy and noisy lives, don't we, that we often forget that we're living in the presence of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wise Christians live with fear and trembling and so work out their salvation. A sense of the fear of the Lord will mean that we don't trust our own natural desires and inclinations and ambitions. Rather, we surrender everything to the Lord, seeking his guidance and blessing. And while when we live in the presence of the Lord, we live with a clear conscience, don't we? Sin in our life then will quickly be exposed, quickly confessed and turned from. We will be vigilant in putting up that shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. A life of practicing the presence of the Lord, daily taking up the cross, daily trusting Christ, daily walking by means of the Spirit, daily saying no to sin, daily saying yes to God, a daily surrendering, as we were singing, of our own rights, of our own ambitions, all to the Lordship of the exalted Christ. How are you doing? You working out your salvation? Are you in control of your life, or is God guiding you? Self-sufficient, or looking to the Lord to meet all your needs? Serving yourself, or serving others and the Lord? Using your ministry to project yourself, or doing it with fear and trembling? Following your own ambitions, or surrendering everything to the Lordship of Christ? That's living in the presence of the Lord. See, if we truly believe that God is awesome, we will live a life of awe, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. The Christian life is a life of obedience. It's a life of working out our salvation. It's a life of living in the presence of God. And it begins not by our work, but by resting on the perfect work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you never come to Christ, can I ask you to come to Him tonight? The work is done. The way is open. The bridge is built. Now you must repent, turn from your sin, and embrace Christ who loved you and who rose from the dead and who is alive. You can't work for your salvation, but once you are saved, we then work out that salvation. And we can do that precisely because God is at work in us, giving us the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Sometimes we want to do what is right before the Lord, but we sense we lack the energy and the ability. Paul reminds us, as I do now, that God is at work in us. Ridderbos writes, because God works and has worked, therefore man must and can work. Well said. All of this, Paul says, is for God's good pleasure, for His purposes, all for the glory of God. The path of fulfillment, a path of joy for the believer. And so we echo the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me has not been in vain. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Salvation by grace leads to a life of transformation, a life of obedience, a life of pleasing our Savior. And God in His grace has given you all that you need. We have the triune God indwelling us. God is at work in you. Work out your salvation and fulfill His purposes for your life.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the end of a message titled, Working Out Your Salvation. John will be right back with his closing remarks. Here at The Verdict, we're passionate about edifying and equipping our listeners with the truth of God's Word. That's why we're excited to share John's new booklet, Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. This unique resource offers a clear and biblical understanding about the reality of sin. Our sin separates us from God and impacts every aspect of our lives and relationships. But forgiveness and a fresh start are available to every one of us through Jesus Christ. So, request your free copy of this helpful booklet today by going online to theverdict.org. Once again, the booklet is titled, Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. And while you're on our website, you'll also have the opportunity to help reach other listeners with the truth of God's Word by supporting The Verdict with a donation of any amount. Your financial gift will help us continue sharing the gospel with neighbors in your community and across the world. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting theverdict.org or send a check in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And then just a quick reminder, you can get each of these messages downloaded automatically to your mobile device and listen anytime, anywhere by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast, available on your podcast app. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Again, I ask, are you obedient? Have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior and Lord? And now, are you working out your salvation? Do you see that God is working in you? The Christian life is not let go and let God. Because God works, we also work. And we experience the presence and power of the Lord in our lives. be encouraged. Those committed to the Lord Jesus will know that God is working in them, both to will and to work for His own good pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.